the book of Romans is a book that teaches us doctrines. Amen?
Yes.
It is a doctrinal book. This is where we get a lot of our doctrine, is in the book of Romans. Are you following me?
Yeah.
So by the time we finish the book of Romans, we will be a defender of our faith.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How many would like to defend the faith?
Yeah.
Or you will just be ashamed to be identified as a believer in Christ. Now I find that out when I was preaching in the street. The Christian are ashamed to be identified as a believers of Christ. I don't know why, but they are ashamed. Maybe some of the reason is that they are not living the way they should. So they are ashamed, even in the working place. People are ashamed because of their condition. They are not living the way they should. This is why in the working place, Christian doesn't want to be identified. They want to just blend with them. Is that not right? I find that out when I was working, that called Christian are ashamed to be sharing their faith. But praise the Lord, not so with all of us here. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
We have to share our faith.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to be drawn with this false doctrine here. I hope I have my missing this shirt, so I have a lot of sharing. I have some doctrinal here that I want to give it to you.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
These are our tenets of faith.
Amen.
Our fundamentals. It's about 22 fundamentals doctrine in our organization that we adopted. I want to share it to you and you're going to study it.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Because if we do not know how to defend our faith and we do not study the Word of God, we're going to dry it out. We lose that sin just by sitting down without doing anything. I thought we began testimony over here this morning, and I thank God for that. As I shared to you last Wednesday, that when we come together, according to Paul, to the Corinthians, you bring your psalms, he said, in the book of Corinthians, you come together, bring your psalms. Did you notice that the early Pentecostal, we go, you stand up like popcorn and you sing your song and you testify and you have your word. Because the word says, bring your psalms and your word in the service. That's what Paul said. So we do away with that because it's too long. Well, we don't mind it in those days. It's too long. Everybody sing and testify and share the word. And I enjoy that. Praise the Lord. But now, because of the time, I don't know why we're getting all these conveniences and all these electronics, but yet our time is getting short. The time is shorter and shorter. We have all this driving to it, but time gets shorter. We don't have enough time, rushing and rushing. In the old days, we used the cart or anything, the carison, we call it in the Philippines. And your whistle going to your destiny. Hallelujah. We use the horses. Today you have all these cars, and we do not have enough time. We're going to share the word in any place we should go. You look at 100 years ago, how it looked like. You have this, the first invention, they cranked the automobile. It's funny when you look at past 100 years, what the people was doing. They had no time. They think it's so easy. But today, we have these electronic devices, but yet our time is short. So, can you just imagine that? By the way, in the Philippines, our income there is about 15,000 pesos, that is about $300 a year per capita. That's the average, the earnings. But yet we have our richest pastor in the Philippines. Can you imagine that? It's like, it's upside down. The living there is just, you just go to, we don't pay taxes over there, unless you work in the government, then they charge you your tax. If you have income, go fishing and farming, a rich festival, they don't tax you. You are free. But if you are working in the government, they are going to tax you. So that's how we live in the Philippines. And today we have seen the devastation of the typhoon that destroyed the crops. And he hit that Sierra Madre Mountain that was missed by Brother Ernest, looking at those big narrow trees and oak trees. That's where they are, big ones. So I just want to share that as our thought. When we share the word of God, that I have this fundamental doctrine, I will give this to you after the service, if you want to come and get it and study. For the Bible tells us to study to show the soul approved unto God. Amen?
Yes.
So there are 22 doctrine, tenets of faith that we share here. Another thing is that what we do in the Philippines, that is why I give you this, is because when somebody is converted, when we go to the house, when we go to the school, and they are converted, these young people, they go through this. When they want to receive water baptism, we tell them to study this. We give them a study, and if they do not come and study these fundamentals doctrine, they're not going to receive water baptism. Because it is very important to follow through that what they believe. But there in the Philippines, we give this, we teach them. We got 3 weeks, sometimes 2 weeks if there is no time, but people that want to be baptized, we teach them this fundamental doctrine. And another thing, when a person is converted, they go through that discipleship. That's what the young people do. They go to the high school campuses, and when somebody give their hearts to the Lord, they have to go and follow through, and they bring them for discipleship.
Yes.
Discipleship and telling them what is a Christian. Make sure they know what is a Christian. Some of us doesn't even know probably why you are a Christian. So those are the things when young people are converted. They need to follow through, study what is a Christian and what is discipleship. They go through that, and when they want to be baptized, they go through this. And they should, because if you truly believe, you gotta go through the teaching of Jesus Christ. Receive water baptism. Amen. There are a lot of believers that doesn't want to receive water baptism. I do not know if they have picked up the wrong, the right doctrines or not. Or maybe just shift the mind. Mm-hmm. And they said, I'm a Christian. So that is what I'm going to give you this morning, this fundamental doctrine of the assembly. Now, I want to share you still in the book of Romans, the three aspects of salvation. Can we see that, sister? That is my message this morning. Three aspects of salvation, and you put those scriptures. Is okay. Romans chapter 5, we just read it together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience of hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Shall we just pray and thank God for the word? Father, I thank you for your word.
Yes.
That your word is eternal.
Yes.
That your word cleanses us. That your word rebukes us.
Yes.
And encourages us. I ask now, Father, that your word will find a lodging place in the heart of all of us.
Yes.
This morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
And anointed Lord,
yes,
in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So this morning, we have this subject. It's very simple. It's fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
The three aspects of salvation. Do we have that, sister? Three aspects of salvation.
Mm.
Justification means you are declared righteous.
Mm-hmm.
It's just refreshing our mind for the messages that we have brought already,
mm-hmm.
that we hear already in the previous month.
Mm-hmm.
Justification is to declare that you are righteous. Regeneration is being washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's found in Titus 3:5.
Mm.
They are so simple that we are washed. You go through the washing machine.
Yes.
That is meaning regeneration. And if it never happens to us, you have bought a wrong brand on the shelf. receive the word, but it's only in the mind.
Yeah.
Sanctification. You become saints of God. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that we become the saints.
Right.
You become holy.
Yes.
There's some other religion devote for you to become a saint. Not right. They get the panel, all the high authority, and they say, this is a saint. But not so, according to the word of God, that when you receive Christ, you become saints of God, holy. You walk in holiness. You progressively walk in holiness.
Yes.
Yes.
And you are set apart for the service of God.
Yes.
That means that everybody will become a missionary or ministers for God.
Yes.
Because you are set apart for the service of God.
Yes.
When you receive Christ as your Savior, then and only then that you have your salvation. When you receive these three aspects of salvation, you have salvation. This justification, regeneration, and sanctification. This happens simultaneously when you stand before God. You are justified, you are declared righteous, you are washed, and you are sanctified.
Yes. Amen.
And heaven is your citizenship.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You belong to the citizen in heaven when you are justified. So, this is what we call the aspects of salvation. When we talk about aspects, it is how you view. It is the appearance,
yeah,
and the specification, the details that you are going through. It tells you, that is how the meaning of the aspects of salvation. How you view, if you build a house in your mind, you know what to do. You have the view. You have the appearance, how it look like. So this is what is going to happen to you when you stand before God. Hallelujah. You have the specific view of salvation. It's completed in your mind. Salvation is complete in your mind. Because it is you specifically.
Yeah.
And there are this justification, regeneration, sanctification that they happen simultaneously,
yes,
and you are now a citizen in heaven.
Yeah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So when these three happens to us, we have salvation.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Don't doubt how many believe you have salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to pull an altar call.
I know.
Come on.
Yes.
Even now you're listening. I know who you are. I know you are yourself over here. You love to have an altar call here. Salvation.
Yes.
Salvation, when this thing happens to us, justification, regeneration, sanctification, you acquire salvation. In other words, salvation, you are delivered from the penalty of sin.
Yes, yes.
You are delivered. You are free.
Yes.
That's happened to us at salvation. You are delivered from the penalty of sin.
Yes.
And you become a muted position of eternal life. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
When you have your salvation, you have a position of eternal life.
Amen.
And also, your condition is changed.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The condition, or our situation, condition is changed. We become a brand new person.
Yes.
In the Lord, that's written in 2 Corinthians. So our condition is changed. Now, the people that say they have salvation, but the condition is not changed, they say they still live the same old way. That is not having salvation. I say this again and again. You have put a wrong brand on the shelf. If your condition is not changed.
That's right.
Our standing, our condition is changed when we become a Christian, if we have salvation. Our condition changed from enemy of God to a friend of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
So we thank God for this aspects of salvation, that it brings us a complete understanding of what salvation is all about. We need to let them understand that they have given their life unto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That they trusted God with all the heart. Then they had that salvation. Now I remember a story. I don't know if you heard this story about that, they call it, let God let go.
Yes.
Let God let go. I read that another time in the Facebook. And I just want to show you why they had that let God let go. Is this man walking in Grand Canyon. And while he was walking, he accidentally slipped. And find himself hanging on a branch of a tree. So he doesn't have any more chance. Look at down, it's about 1600, I don't know how deep is that, but he was looking himself down. And so he was scared and he cried out for help. And with that shout that he had echoing in the Grand Canyon, help, help. And suddenly he heard a voice, and he said, I am there, I want to help you. This man heard something, another voice. He thought something that it is the voice of God. And he said, God, is that you? Yes, I want to help you. One thing you have to do, he said, let that grip out of that branch, let go. And he was disappointed. It's just a word that came out of his mouth. He, that God, I want to serve you if you send me this. But when God said, let go and let me in other words, but he don't want it. You know that what we are? A lot of time when we are in a situation, bad situation, well, you cry out to God. After that trust is gone. So We need to remind ourselves that the word that we speak to God are not cheap. We have salvation.
Yeah.
Now, if we study further, the book of Romans, it tells us here, as I read, it begins with therefore. Mm-hmm. Let me just go back over there because I'm going to use it explaining. I got a lot of time to listen. I just begin the beginning of the lesson. So it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace. You know, it begins with the therefore, and it must be the conclusion of the previous chapter. This is what he said, therefore, having been saved. So there must have been something happened on the previous chapter. And that previous chapter is what Abraham was given, was granted to him that promise. Now, I want to turn it on verse 17. If you have your Bible, I want to read it to you. That God granted Abraham that promise, that covenant that he had to Abraham. So he concluded that here, therefore. So we're going to read what Abraham did. So he says in verse 17, I didn't give the verse there. As it is written, I have made you father of many nations. That was God talking to Abraham. As it is written, I give you the nation, many nations. I don't want to get too much to the prophecy now because America is in this prophecy. The nation, America. And he said, in the presence of him whom he believed God, and giveth life to whom he believed. So, you know how Abraham was? He offered his son, Isaac, because he believed God. And this is why it was granted unto him, that promise. He believed God even to the point that he is going to offer his only son. So not only that he made him a nation, give him many nations, but he gave him a spiritual blessing. That on this faith that they have believed in God, he said, I want to continue that. And God who gives life to the dead. God is telling that he gives life to the dead. God is now sharing to him what is going to happen. Even though Isaac was being offered, God had in mind. He was looking ahead that one day his son is going to be offered as a sin offering for everybody. Are you listening to me? And he is looking ahead of time that this offering is going to give us life. Not the offering of Abraham, but his son who is going to be offered ahead of time because if you read this, he said, He called those things which are not, exist, as though they exist, as though they are. So, in ahead of time, he looked forward for that offering of Jesus Christ that will give life to every followers or every believers. Are you following me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So God is so mindful,
yes,
that he looked ahead of time and said, I will give you my son. The Bible tells us that he is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So God knows ahead of time that Jesus is going to be offered as a sacrifice,
yes,
for everyone.
Amen.
And that is why that therefore Abraham believed.
Yes.
Believed God, and he said he never wavered in his faith. Oh, he never staggered on his faith, but believed God.
Hallelujah.
You know what staggered is? The ego walk, you staggered like that. But that was the faith of Abraham. He never staggered.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a person that walked on a street, very straight street. But that drunkard make him crooked. When he walk, because he walk staggered now.
Yeah.
So, thank God for Abraham that he staggered not in unbelief, but look ahead of Jesus Christ. Look God and believe God. And because of this, the Bible says that he imputed unto him righteousness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know what the word imputed? It's a very sacred place, sacred word, that you do not deserve it, but it is given to you. Imputed unto him righteousness. It was credited to him for what he had believed God, that to the point that he is offering his son, Isaac, God impute to him that righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And this is what the word tells us today, that therefore being justified, that was now the conclusion, because it was imputed to him by righteousness, and Abraham became the father of faith. And now he's telling us here in our verse that therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God.
Amen.
We are justified,
amen,
by faith.
Amen.
Now I heard a lot of times that, well, we are saved by faith alone. You heard that?
Yeah.
But the word of God said, for by grace you are saved,
yeah,
through faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
We misquote that. I heard that to a preacher sometimes, and he said, well, I think he just misquoting it. But for by grace you are saved through faith.
Yeah.
So in other words, our faith is the hands that receive the gift. Amen. That is our faith. It's our hand receiving the gift of God. Not works, lest any man should boast. So it is the gift of God. If you receive it by faith, remember this illustration, your hand is like your faith that will receive the gift. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So did you receive Jesus Christ by faith?
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
A lot of preachers today preach about your works and works and works. You're going to get tired.
That's right.
do this, do that, do this, do that. Do, 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 you become do, do.
That's what the pastor.
It is not warm. It is not warm. You're going to get tired. When you are saved, there is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It will bear fruits. And that God is going to prune you. If you do one thing at a time, Jesus keep pruning you, and you bear much fruit.
Yes.
Fruit of the Spirit. It is automatically come out from our spirit to do the things for God,
yes,
because it is the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
It is not the work of the flesh.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So even though it should show that our works, the Bible also says that without works, you are not what James called it, that you said you have faith, but no more work. You are not showing faith. But that is what we call this works of the efforts that we do. But when a Christian believes God, it automatically bears fruit. It's not do this, do that. There is a work here. It's but because you are filled with the Spirit, you have automatically enjoyed that. But if you do not enjoy doing the things of God, you better check that salvation again.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because if you have the fruit of the Spirit of God, you automatically do the things of God. So that is what we call the fruits of the Spirit when we have salvation.
Yes, amen.
Now, and that is explanation that we have peace with God. For by grace you are saved through faith. And you're in verse 2, to whom also have you access. Oh, come on now, clap your hands. Amen. This is access to the throne of God. Because you have been justified, you have access to the throne of God. This is why in book of Hebrews tells us that come boldly to the throne of grace.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes.
Amen. That you may find help in times of need. You exist through faith. Come boldly.
Hallelujah.
So that it means that God has opened the door. All the doors, because he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I will give you the keys of the kingdom. In other words, you hold a lot of keys. It opened everything.
Yes.
That is how God provided. Because you have been justified, you have an access to heaven.
Hallelujah.
All the doors of the blessing. Because God said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. That means you have all the authority.
Yes.
Jesus gave to us when he said to his disciples that all power is given unto me.
Amen.
In heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples.
Yes.
So if he opens the gate. In the book of Psalms, he said, oh gates, he said, lift up your head and open your gate, all you people, for this is the everlasting door. So that the King of Glory will come in. Open your doors, all ye gates. Open the doors, the gates of evangelism. Sister, he opened the gates for you for evangelizing.
Yeah.
You do it for the glory of God. Because
yes.
Lift up your hands. Because I open doors, everlasting doors, that no one can shut it out.
That's right.
I will give you this opportunity. Open your gates, all you people. The door, the everlasting door, for the King of Glory is coming in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. The Lord of Hosts is coming to you. You have access. Everything. The benefits of a citizen of heaven, in heaven, or if you are having salvation, everything belongs to you.
Mm-hmm.
You are a legal citizen in heaven.
Amen.
You are a legal citizen here? How many are illegal here? Amen. To God, they're legal. They can still have their privileges. But we are legal.
Yeah.
If I am a legal citizen, I can vote.
Yeah.
I got one say. I can vote. Amen? I can vote who is going to represent me in the government. That's very important. That all of us, we have a say because of your vote. They don't listen. If you listen, you go to the government, they don't listen to you. But if you vote out that person, he will not represent you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Amen. So your vote is very important. You are legal citizen here in the United States. But in heaven is different. Everything, the benefit of a citizen in heaven, all belongs to you.
Mm-hmm.
You come in and out of the door. You have your authority, and nobody will stop you, because you are a son of God, and you have an access through faith.
Yes.
This is what we are studying, that we are justified by faith.
Mm-hmm.
I got to finish this quickly. 3 more points, all right. We have access through faith.
Amen.
We are justified.
Mm-hmm.
I will now give you a picture in heaven that there is a courtroom in heaven, and God is the judge, and you are going to stand before him.
Mm-hmm.
Remember now, you are a guilty sinner, and you're going to stand before God. And this is what justification is trying to explain to us this morning. That justification is like a court in heaven. That God is the judge.
Mm-hmm.
The angels are the spectators.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is your advocate, the attorney, that will defend you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Come on. So this is the picture when it was put. Justification is because a sinner stand before God and God will declare him righteous.
Amen.
You know what the Bible tells us? That the angels in heaven rejoice for one sinner that repents. Hallelujah, you pray. You want to make heaven happy. You bring a soul in the eyes of God.
Amen.
That will plead guilty before God. Lord, I am a sinner. When he acknowledged that, the Bible says heaven rejoice.
Amen.
So there must be a spectator in the courtroom of heaven.
Wow.
Because that is written in chapter 15, verse 7 and 10, that the angel Luke chapter 15, verse 7, and then the angel rejoiced for over a sinner that repent. And God for that. Did you make heavens celebrate? You bring one soul in the presence of God because it's here. Hallelujah. Justification. It only works. Amen. When a person plead guilty, it doesn't work. When you say, well, I will do it next time, Lord. I will do this. I gotta do this first. You're not gonna be declared righteous. When a person guilty, Bible says that all of us is a sinner. We are all indicted. All of us is a sinner according to the word of God. Nobody is righteous here. This is why when you acknowledge that you are a sinner, the Bible also says in Romans 6:23 that, but the gift of God is eternal life. So when a sinner stands before God and he acknowledges that he is a sinner, then not only in this courtroom in heaven, being God the judge, he will declare you righteous. He is forgiven, and the angel rejoice, and everybody rejoice because of one sinner. That is what justification means, a courtroom in heaven. Up here on the earth, well, you tell to the judge, Judge, I am guilty of what I did. I stole that car. I stole that roof. A lot of you kind of like that, you know. What does the judge tell you if you plead guilty? You serve your term, boy. 10 years in prison before you get pardoned. But on earth, right after you say, Lord, I am guilty, justification, regeneration, sanctification happens simultaneously, and you are declared righteous as if you never sinned before. Oh, come on now, church. Hallelujah. We are studying about justification, and it goes to this regeneration. That when you are regenerated, you are washed by the blood.
Yes.
That the Spirit of God is the agent washing you. Yes. And he will renew your mind. And he will be born again. You will be born in the Spirit by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And he will incorporate us into the body of Christ.
Yes.
So that everybody will
bless
you. By the renewing of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
If the agent of your salvation is the Holy Spirit, he will stand.
Yes.
Because
Amen.
Jesus, the Holy Spirit that was sent here, is the agent in our salvation.
Yes.
Yeah.
When the word is preached, the Holy Spirit convicts us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
When you hear the word, the Spirit will come and knock on us. And if we do not listen, well, what happened? Just to this in person. Agency. The Holy Spirit is the agent, and you become born in the Spirit. I will conclude with this sanctification. It says you become saints of God.
Yes.
Sanctification comes from two words. Ha means no. And the other one, hagios. Gios is means ground. So in other words, you are declared sanctified. That the enemy has no ground to accuse us.
Hallelujah.
You get what my point is?
Yeah.
So that is what that means. In sanctification, how curious is that? You are sanctified, brethren. You become a saint of God, holy. Now come the last part, set apart. You are set apart. You are chosen to work for the service of God. Amen. There is no person that is not chosen here when you have your salvation. Come on, John.
Amen.
I'm talking to you. Every one of us is set apart when he has salvation and he is going to work for
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
And progressively, sanctification is in two parts. You become, you walk holy in the
yes.
Lord.
Yes.
Walk in holiness. Sanctification is progressively, it's
right.
growing in grace. That is what sanctification, and the second part, he set you apart. You are chosen. Bible says, I have, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Yes.
That's the word of God. He chose you to be a worker, an evangelist, a minister,
yeah.
a Christian, to share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, church.
Amen. Amen.
How many understand what I said?
Amen.
Amen.
You clap your hands.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I conclude my message here and hope that you're going to defend your Christianity.
Yes.
And before you leave, I will put this, you take one. And this is the fundamentals doctrine that we have. All right?
Amen.
Shall we all stand?